Hour number three continues. You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050. What a show it's been, Coco. What a show it's been. The Toronto Maple Leafs lose 4-2 to the Boston Bruins, and a lot of the same old stories from the series and past playoff failures rear their heads again last night. The Maple Leafs 0-for-5 on the power play, and their penalty kill struggles as well. Let's welcome in someone who's a video coach with the Toronto Maple Leafs, is well aware of what has been going on with this hockey club for a long time. He's Andrew Brewer, and he's back on First Up. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's always our pleasure. Apologies for the slight delay in giving you a call. I wanted to get your thoughts on the power play struggles that this team has been subjected to so far in this series against Boston. They're 1-for-11. The Bruins are 5-for-10 on the power play. Those stats represent perhaps the difference in the series and the reason Leafs are down 2-1 as opposed to up 2-1. What have you been seeing from the Maple Leafs power play, and what adjustments do you think they can make?
To be honest, I think their power play has been not as bad as probably advertised, but that becomes the issue when you get into a 7-game series or, you know, 2 weeks of hockey or 10 days of hockey in the middle of April. I think that they've had a little bit of trouble on their entries, not generating enough speed on their entries. And they've been a little disjointed without Nylander. I mean, when you do something for so long, you've got your pieces and your places, and you have your routines and your expectations of what guys are going to be there. But overall, they've had tons of great chances. You look at Matthews as the shooter holding his spot last night in the second period, a great opportunity that actually got through the goalie and went to the backside. It's just one of those things that it doesn't fall. And I think it goes to their bigger issue that, the penalty kill is a massive, massive issue for them right now. It always comes down to special teams and goaltending. If you go back to the two series I was there for in 18 and 19, it always comes down to special teams and goaltending. And Boston seems to be able to find a way to be one shot better and one save better.
So, Brew, as you just highlighted, special teams and goaltending, that's clearly an area that has favored Boston so far. You talk about five and ten chances?
5-for-10 on the PP.
5-for-10 for Boston and 1-for-11 for the Maple Leafs. And you say, yeah, it's actually not that bad, but when people see their those type of numbers, it's not a lot to get excited about with this Maple Leafs crew. And based on what you've seen, and there's a lot of talk on how you change it, I've always been a guy that encourages a shot mentality, especially, you know, it starts with your blue line where either a puck goes to the net, either finds its way in, or you create a second or third chance, or you force guys to put their work boots on and go retrieve the puck, and next thing you know, the seams are opening up. But considering it struggles, it could look good, but it's clearly not producing. Would you entertain a change, and what change would you look at? Would you look at personnel, or would you look at, positioning?
I guess realistically, you're probably looking at positioning, and hopefully, you know, from a personnel perspective, you got to think that Willie comes back next game. But I think the biggest issue comes down to before the power play ever even happens. And the biggest issue that we have right now is Toronto and Boston is the second highest or the highest penalized series so far. So one of the most fun things to do this time of year is when you go to NHL stats and you look to see what teams have drawn the most penalties. And almost every series is right beside each other. You look at Toronto, they've got drawn 14 penalties. You look at Boston, they've drawn 14 penalties. Washington's drawn 11. New York's drawn 11. There's just way too many power plays in the series. Toronto's a way better team at 5-on-5, and they've got to get away from drawing the four power plays in a game. Because whether you like it or not, Boston's going to get four power plays in the game. So the number one way to fix, at the end of the day, a power play that's not going is not go on the power play as much. Spend more time at 5-on-5. Then you can get into things like, yeah, absolutely, you can look to adjust your tactics. But the issue, again, with playoffs and why it's so exciting is you can adjust it all you want, but it gets into these really small sample sizes. And sometimes the puck goes in, sometimes the puck doesn't go in, and it's really hard to control what's going to happen in a 7-game series.
I've said it. If you can't kill the penalties, don't take them, right?
And don't take them and don't draw them even to a certain extent, because at the end of the day, I know it's kind of counterintuitive, but at the end of the day, if you take five penalties or if you draw five penalties, you know they're going to get at least four the other way. You can complain about reffing all you want. Hey, I think it was Matthews was taken down behind the net, but they made a big deal on the broadcast. But, like, it's just the way that it's called. Every single series, the penalties are even. So you got to find a way to play around and find a way to live in the way it's called.
So we're joined by Andrew Brewer. And, Brew, Mitch Marner has been a big focal point in this series because it just doesn't look like he's playing like himself. And as the founder of 200-foot hockey and 200-foot coaching, what are you noticing in Mitch Marner's game as a coach that is missing and that he needs to be better at in this series?
One thing is, it just feels strange. It feels like he doesn't have the puck like he generally does. When you look at when he's on, he's energetic, he has the puck, and he's a puck magnet. When you look at Austin Matthews in his dominant Game 2 performance, every time he was on the ice, he was with the puck, near the puck. He was always around it. Right now, it feels like Mitch is completely away from it. So the number one way is to get closer to it. So in the defensive zone, try to be a part, try to be the first man back, be able to kill plays, help out JT in the defensive zone, be F1 down low a little bit, and help out and kill some plays defensively, and then try to get the puck earlier on the breakout and start to get some more stuff going off the rush. I'll give them a lot of credit, and it comes into a little bit with the way they're playing. Boston's done a great job of taking away the Toronto's rush attack. They've had barely anything off of the rush, except obviously the Marner and Nyes goal last night. So that's really taken away Marner's game, and Marner's going to find a way to get a little bit more time with the puck in the offensive zone, hold on to it, cycle high. A little bit of the issue is, though, that Toronto doesn't have the same D that they had the last couple of years where their D could really be active, kind of activate down through. They've got a little bit more of a old-school type defenseman, and now it's a little bit harder for Marner to cycle up, D to cycle down low like you do see with Morgan Riley all the time. So you just got to find a way to have the puck. When things aren't going your way, get the puck on your stick and start to drive the play a little more.
What's the biggest challenge about going up against Brad Marchand in a playoff series?
He just knows how to push buttons. You know, if you look at all the players on the ice last night, who scored the biggest goal in the Scotiabank Arena? It was Brad Marchand. When I was lucky enough to work with him at the 2016 World Cup, he got the game winner for the championship game at the 2016 World Cup. He just knows where to go, what buttons to push, how to get away with things. I know it drove Sheldon nuts last night. You know, why does he not get called? And, you know, the Bertuzzi play and it's just a special talent. Hey, you know, like it or not, Domi started a lot of the same thing. When he knocked over Swayman in the second period TV timeout, it's just a special skill to be able to bug players and to be able to elevate your games. I mean, Carlo, you know better than anybody. When going gets tough in the playoffs, there's anxiety, your heart rate gets going high, your mind starts getting muddy. And the best players just find a way to not be affected by that. And for whatever reason, the Leafs continuously to have issues with, you know, when the going gets tough, it's hard. It's hard for everybody to be able to handle it. It was hard for me as a video coach. You're nervous, you're excited, you're angry, you're feeling all these emotions. So the best players, you know, whether it's a Marie-Philippe Coulet, whether it's Brad Marchand, the best players just find a way to not get bothered by it. The Michael Jordans, they just don't get bothered by it. They can do what they do all the time.
You can follow Andrew on Twitter at abrew2014. He's the founder of 200-foot hockey and 200-foot coaching, a leader in hockey technology, and a former Maple Leaf assistant coach. Thank you for the time, Brew. Let's do this again later in the playoffs.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope the Leafs keep going. I've got lots of in-laws and my father-in-law back in PEI is a massive Leafs fan. So we need to keep the Leafs train going.
We'll see how it goes. Saturday night. Thanks, man.
All right.
See you, pal.
That's Andrew Brewer. This hour of First Up brought to you by LeaseBusters. LeaseBusters will get you out of your car lease today. It is as easy as pie, a piece of cake. Avoid penalties and early termination fees. Visit LeaseBusters.com. All right, it's time. The phone lines are now open. 416-870-1050. Wake up, Woodbridge. We'll talk about the Leafs' loss to Boston. The belief in this group to turn it around ahead of Game 4 on Saturday night. 416-870-1050. Wake up, Woodbridge is next.